Good morning, everyone. My name is David Jesperson, and I'm a PhD student at Rutgers University studying under Dr. Bingru Huang. And today I'm going to be talking to you about metabolite profiling and heat stress in creeping bentgrass. So as you all know, heat stress is a major abiotic factor which leads to declines in all sorts of species, including a major turf species such as creeping bentgrass, Agrasta stolonifera, which was one of the major species of turf grasses used on economically important areas of turf. This increase in summer temperatures ultimately leads to premature senescence, which on a cellular level leads to a number of major changes such as breakdowns in proteins, membranes, pigments, as well as changes in carbon relations such as a decrease in photosynthesis and an increase in respiration. Ultimately, these damage the plant and reduce the quality and value of turf, and ultimately can lead to plant death after senescence. So with that in mind, it's important for the development of either lines with increased tolerance or other ways that we can try to increase heat tolerance in these turf grasses. One such way that people have tried to improve heat tolerance is exogenous applications of compounds which may improve stress tolerance. Previous research shown that cytokinins can reduce senescence in the monoplanar Rhabdopsis as well as in turf grasses. And cytokines have been applied exogenously, but also through transgenic methods to increase endogenous levels have also been shown to delay senescence. Ethylene inhibitors similarly have been shown to delay senescence in bentgrasses as well as cereal crops. And nitrogen applications have been shown to lead to increases in stress tolerance in turf during stressful periods. Just some very brief background about the compounds that I'm using in the study. Nitrogen, as you all know, is a major macronutrient. It's essential for protein synthesis. Urea is one of the most commonly applied sources of nitrogen for turf areas, and that is the form of nitrogen, which was used in our study. Cytokinins are one of the major family of plant hormones. They play roles in cell division and differentiation. As I just mentioned, they've been shown to inhibit senescence. In these compounds that researchers and managers are trying to use to increase tolerance, such as biostimulants, such as seaweed extracts, that are common in high levels in these kinds of compounds. And the form that I'm using is the cytokinin Z-ribosidase. And then ethylene is another class of plant hormone. It's produced in response to a number of stresses and ultimately induces senescence. And of course, since we're trying to reduce the levels of senescence and heat-related damages, we're using an ethylene inhibitor, aminoethoxylbindoglycine, which inhibits ethylene synthesis to reduce ethylene levels. So this leads to the research questions of what are the specific metabolic pathways that are regulated by these compounds that leads to increased heat tolerance? And do these compounds share pathways for increased tolerance, or are they distinctly different? The specific objectives of our experiment was to determine the effects of cytokinins, ethylene inhibitors, and nitrogen applications for increased heat tolerance in creeping bentgrass, and to identify metabolic pathways altered by these compounds, which leads to increased tolerance using metabolomic analysis. For the experimental design, the plant materials were the creeping bentgrass cultivar Pencross. They were grown in environmentally controlled growth chambers with control conditions of 20 degrees, 18 degrees day-night temperatures, or to induce heat stress, they were in chambers of 35, 30 degrees. They received 610 micromoles photosynthetically active radiation per meter squared per second and maintained that 60% relative humidity. They were maintained well-watered and fertilized twice weekly with quarter-strength Holland's nutrient solution. For the treatments, there was a control that received just water. The ethylene inhibitor, ABG, was applied at a rate of 25 micromolar. Cytokine and ZR was applied at a rate of 25 micromolar as well. And the urea nitrogen source was applied at 18 millimolar. And these rates are based on preliminary research in our lab that found these to be effective rates. They were applied as a foliar spray, applied weekly. There were four replicates per treatment and a completely randomized design. To assess heat tolerance and damages caused by heat stress, a number of common physiological measurements were taken. Turf quality is just a visual rating on a scale of 1 to 9 to assess overall plant health based on color and density. Chlorophyll content was measured using a dimethyl sulfoxide extraction, which is measured spectrophotomically and then expressed on a per dry weight basis. electrolyte leakage, estimates membrane stability, and is used by measuring a conductance meter to get an idea of percent damage, as well as tissue samples were taken and immediately frozen in liquid nitrogen for later metabolite analysis. And statistical analysis of physiological results was performed using SAS version 9.2 using Fisher's protected LSD. So here we can just see a quick image of some examples of what we have at 3 weeks of heat stress. On the left, we can see the control image where we have greater degree of leaf yellowing and senescence compared to the treatment of the cytokine in ZR, where it's maintaining greener leaf color and has overall healthier appearance. If we look at those overall quality ratings over time, we can see that as heat progresses, we get a decrease in turf quality as the levels of leaf senescence increase. And by 3 and 4 weeks of heat stress, the exogenously applied compounds have significantly higher quality when compared to the water control. When we look at chlorophyll content at this 4 weeks of heat stress, we can see that all three exogenous treatments, the ethylene inhibitor, cytokine, and nitrogen, all maintain significantly higher levels of chlorophyll content when compared to the water treatment. And similarly, the ethylene inhibitor, cytokine, and nitrogen had significantly lower levels of relative damage as expressed by electrolyte leakage when compared to that water control again, demonstrating that these treatments applied exogenously are indeed having a positive effect on heat tolerance. So now that we see that they're having a positive effect, the question becomes, how are they resulting this impact? And one of the ways to do that is to look at metabolite profiling, which can be a bit daunting to interpret just due to the very nature of metabolites and the interconnected nature. So sugars which are produced by photosynthesis can then be broken down by glycolysis and incorporated into the citric acid cycle, and then these intermediates can also be shuttled into other areas. But hopefully by getting a snapshot of the metabolite levels in the cell, we can start to gain some insights as to what these compounds are changing and potential pathways that are worthy of further research, as well as perhaps specific metabolites that exert a strong effect on heat tolerance. For the metabolomic analysis associated with heat tolerance, as I mentioned, tissue was frozen in liquid nitrogen, and then powdered samples were extracted with methanol, and the samples were derivatized. And then GCMS was used to identify and quantify samples. So gas chromatography is used to separate samples based on volatility across a column. And then mass spectrometry is used to identify the compounds and then compared against the library so we get the identity and quantity of the metabolites. With our analysis, a total of 42 metabolites responsive to heat stress were identified, including 10 amino acids, 5 sugar alcohols, 18 sugars, and 9 organic acids. And so here we can see a heat map that shows the full change when compared to that water control for the various treatments. The brighter red indicates a greater decrease in fold, and green is an increase in fold. So, for example, the nitrogen had a fold increase of cellobios, and we can see a number of changes, both increase and decreases for sugars and sugar alcohols, organic acids, and amino acids that I previously mentioned. And when we compare this, we can find that there were 4 metabolites that were uniquely regulated by the ethylene inhibitor, 8 which were uniquely regulated by the nitrogen application, 3 metabolites which were commonly regulated between the ethylene inhibitor and nitrogen, 6 which were commonly regulated between the nitrogen and cytokinin, 7 which were commonly regulated between the ethylene inhibitor and the cytokinin, and finally 19 that were commonly regulated between all these exogenous treatments, showing that there's some metabolites that were similarly regulated and some that were differentially or uniquely regulated based on the exogenous compounds. So now I'm just going to give a few examples of some of the metabolites that were found since there's not time to talk about all of them. Citric acid was found to be altered by the ethylene inhibitor ABG. It's an important intermediate in the TCA cycle and also has been found to act as a compatible solute, which can help protect cells during stress events. And we can see that there were significantly higher levels of citric acid in the ethylene inhibitor treatment when compared to the water treatment at 4 weeks of heat stress. An example of a metabolite that was altered by the cytokine is used in ribocide is myo-inositol. It's a sugar alcohol. It's been shown to potentially act as a secondary messenger, and similar to many of these compounds, can accumulate as a compatible solute, which helps protect cell constituents. And again, here's an example of a metabolite that had significantly increased levels in this exogenous treatment when compared to the control. For a metabolite that was uniquely altered by nitrogen is serine, which is an amino acid, which is, of course, important for protein synthesis, but also plays important roles in intermediates in a number of cycles, including the glycolate cycle, which is important for photorespiration, as well as acting as a precursor to glycine betaine, which, like many of the other compounds, can act as a cellular protectant. Here we can see significantly higher levels of serine induced by the nitrogen treatment when compared to the control. And then there's also metabolites that I mentioned that are commonly altered across treatments, such as malic acid, which is another intermediate in the citric acid cycle. It can also act as a compatible solute and has been found to have protective effects in other stresses, such as drought or salinity. And here we can see that all three treatments, the ethylene inhibitors, cytokine, and nitrogen, had increased levels of this metabolite when compared to the water control. And conversely, here's one that had lower levels in these exogenous treatments is arabinose, which is sugar to hexose, and it's frequently integrated into cell walls, often in the form of arabinoglycans. And here we see that there are significantly lower levels in the ethylene inhibitor, cytokine, and nitrogen when compared to our water control treatment. Lastly, two other important metabolites that I want to touch on very briefly are fructose and sucrose. These are both major sugars within the cell. Fructose is a monosaccharide, and we can see that it had significantly lower levels with our exogenous treatments again. This was commonly found with other hexoses and monosaccharides in our metabolite analysis, indicating perhaps changes in glycolysis and ultimately the products being fed into respiration. And sucrose, which is one of the major storage and transport sugars, is a disaccharide, and that had significantly higher levels in the ethylene inhibitor and nitrogen treatments, perhaps indicating that they're better maintaining their carbohydrate reserves. Lastly, for analysis, principal component analysis was also performed in SAS, and this is a method that we can look at what metabolites are responsible for the variance between our different groups. And so component one accounted for 44% of the variance between groups, and we can see that it nicely separates the water control from our different exogenous treatments on the x-axis here. And a number of metabolites which were shown to be most important for these components are some of the ones I previously mentioned, like malic acid and arabinose, and some other ones that normally we may not look at, such as sorbitol, which is another sugar alcohol. And then also component two, which accounted for 31% of the variation between groups, we can see that this component largely separates the nitrogen treatment from our other treatment groups. And in this component, a number of metabolites, such as the amino acids, serine and valine, as well as the sugar glucose, were found to be important for the differences in this group as well as others. So in summary, exogenous nitrogen, cytokine, and ethylene inhibitor applications resulted in improved thermal tolerance. 42 metabolites differentially regulated compared to the untreated plants during heat stress. AVG, the ethylene inhibitor, cytokine, and nitrogen treatments had several metabolic changes in common, and some that were unique to these exogenous treatments. And in general, the nitrogen treatment was more different than the ethylene inhibitor and cytokine treatment. Overall, there was an increase in disaccharides and a decrease in monosaccharides and an increase in organic acids. And this may indicate changes to gluconeogenesis, glycolysis, respiration. Many of these compounds can act as signaling molecules or the accumulation of compatible solutes, which can help protect cellular constituents. Future work includes confirming pathways and mechanisms both through RNA expression analysis as well as enzyme activity assays to better get a grasp of what pathways these metabolites are acting in, as well as studying these applications of compounds in field conditions to see if they can be applied to truly increase heat tolerance in real-world applications. I'd like to acknowledge the Rutgers Center for Turfgrass Science and Dr. Wog's lab and all its lab members. And thank you for your attention, and I'll gladly take any questions.